And Chris, I understand it is a chilly minus 10 degrees over there in Chicago now.
Hello, Kat. Yes, minus 10, give or take. It's snowing. We don't know if we're going to be able to leave the country tomorrow, but luckily you're here to warm our day up for us.
Well, I hope you get back, but what have you spotted in the news for us this week? I do hope you get back, honest.
Thanks. Well, it's been really interesting being here. We were here partly for the fact that it is the AAAS, the American Association for the Advancement of Science meeting, but also we've been in the company of David Willett, who is the UK Minister for Universities and Science. There's something called the Science Innovation Network, SIN for short, although it's SIN it isn't, because what they do is to try to spot important science that's going on, important groups that are doing research, and therefore opportunities for British scientists to collaborate with people in other countries and try and bring the two together. And so David Willetts was here to try to foster relations with a number of important research opportunities and initiatives that are taking place here in America. So we've actually been accompanying him on some of his ministerial visits, as well as hearing about some of the news that's going on. And we've actually just published the speech that David Willetts gave yesterday to the American Association's Fellows Forum yesterday morning. It's very interesting what he had to say about how he sees the special relationship between Britain and America and both the sort of spirit of collaboration and competition driving future developments and future technologies coming out from both of the countries. So that's worth a listen. The other thing I went to, there's a really interesting piece yesterday about brains and specifically how we can model brains with computers. There's a guy called Terry Stewart who's at Waterloo University in Canada, and he and his team have come up with a way of generating neural networks, in other words, connections between nerve cells, using a computer so that you can begin to work out how different parts of the brain work. Rather than have to try and study a real brain, you can build the network in the computer. You can then take the psychology, what the observation of how we think the brain should be responding to certain stimuli or what thought processes it should be producing, for example, and then you can ask the computer, does it genuinely result in those sorts of outputs when you put certain inputs in? And if it doesn't, you can then ask, what do we have to change in order to make it produce the right outputs? And then you can go looking in a real brain to see if those sorts of changes that you would have to put into your model can exist in nature if they're there, because that enables us to discover new science in a computer.
This sounds really cool. And could it be useful to scientists around the world? How could other scientists kind of get involved in modelling their interesting processes?
Well, one of the things that Terry Stewart and his team have done is to come up with an open source computer language. They call this Nango, and you can download it. And it means that you can take your psychology model, some particular task or thing that you're studying with how the brain works, you can assemble a neural network to model that behaviour, and you can then get involved asking, well, does my model of how I think the brain works fit with the observed psychology? And if it doesn't, you can then spot these differences and then go looking for them in the real brain to see if they exist.
And then presumably bolt that onto the kind of growing virtual brain that these people are making.
Yes, although there is some minor sort of wrinkle in this cortical computer, which is that unfortunately at the moment, if they were to scale up their model to be a complete human brain, which uses 20 watts of energy, they would need a power station to run it. It would be literally gigawatts of computing power, because our computers are just not good enough to match up with what the computer that's running in each of us's heads currently does. But some companies have come up with some new forms of computer chips, which, unlike normal computer chips, which are incredibly precise and devote probably 95% of their energy to being extremely accurate, these new chips will be highly inaccurate or imprecise, like nerve cells, and it means that they can actually model brains much more faithfully using this next generation of computer chips.
Good stuff. Well, thanks very much, Chris and Kate, reporting there from Chicago, and we'll hear more from them later.